Okay, we're going to need a bit of a history lesson over here from Rabbi Yosef Marx, who's our resident historian. We saw yesterday a
The
discussion.
Rashi reading.
Yeah, we'll see, but I'd like you to read. I'm sure our scroll will have a lengthy footnote, which I'd like you to read, if I may ask you. But first,
Yes,
let's just
yes.
remind ourselves. First, let's just remind ourselves what we saw yesterday. We saw yesterday, Avner gets killed, and the Gemara asked, why did he get killed? So the Gemara said, because he should have protested Shaul HaMelech's decision to kill Noiv Ir HaKohenim. However, there was an opposing opinion and says it's not true. He did protest, but Dor HaMelech did not listen to his protest. So the question becomes, if you hold of the opinion that he did not protest, well, that's therefore why he got killed. But if you hold that he did protest, he did everything he could. And the fact that Dor HaMelech didn't listen to him, that Shaul HaMelech did not listen to him, was not his fault. So why was he killed? What was his einish? So the Gemara says, have a look at the Gemara. The first word on the line is lifnei. That's the first word. It's about the 10th wide line. Leman da'omar micha, according to the opinion that says that he indeed did make a protest. Well, if that's the case, my time is yonish. So why did he get punished? Rav Nachman by Yitzchak, sheshoho malchus beis David shtei shonim umechtza, because he caused a delay in the malchus beis David by 2.5 years. So Rabbi Yosef, if I could ask you to read the historical background to this, it's absolutely fascinating. Rabbi Yosef, could you read it out for us, please?
Yes, yes, sure. After Saul died, David took up residence in Hebron, where he was anointed by Shevet Yehuda to be king over them. 5 years later, David sent a message to Shaul's followers requesting that they accept him as king. Avner replied by crowning Shaul's son, Ishbosheth. After reigning for 2 years, Ishbosheth died. 6 months later, David was finally installed in Jerusalem as king over all Israel. Now, had Avner not crowned Ishbosheth, David would have been king at that juncture, that's 2.5 years earlier. Thus, Avner delayed David's reign by 2.5 years. And I think there's a lengthy Rashi, which is just really...
Yeah, Rashi says precisely that. So have a look now that Rabbi Yosef has filled us in, have a look at that lengthy Rashi, Sheshoho Malchus Beis David. So the long Rashi. Rashi says, Sheheemid es ish boishes lamelech. He established ish boishes. Ish boishes was actually the son of Shaul HaMelech as a king. If Avner indeed would not have anointed him as king, then they would have accepted David HaMelech at that point. But it didn't happen at that point, it only happened much later. From the time that Ishbosheth became the king, ad yoim shemolach David al kol Yisrael, until eventually when David HaMelech indeed reigned over all of Israel, Hoyu shtei shanim umechza, was indeed 2.5 years. How do we get to that cheshbon? Shtei shanim leishboishes, 2 years of Ishbosheth's reign, at which point part of Klal Yisrael therefore did not accept the melucha of David HaMelech. So that was an initial 2 year delay, and then V'chatzi shana, on another half year, bein misasai l'malchus David, from the time that Ishbosheth died till eventually David HaMelech was accepted upon all of Klal Yisrael was another 6 months. Shemisha meis Shaul molach David bechevroin. Because when initially Shaul died, David HaMelech took up the kingship in Chevroin, the Ksiv, bechevroin molach sheva shonim v'shisha chadoshim. 7 years and 6 months. Now, say mehen chomish shonim, deduct 5 years shebein misas shol malchus ishboishes, because it didn't happen immediately. The tani b'sei the oilam ayomim hashem molach David, etc., etc. Nilm tzeis malchus Yisrael b'teila chomish shonim. So it was a 5 year gap where the Klal Yisrael did not have a melech. Alma chomish shonim hoyu b'loy melech. Is Nishtairu Shtei Shonim Umechza, 2.5 years left, Mamleches Ish Boishes Lamalchus Beis David. So out of those 7.5 years, there were 5 years that there was Bechal no king, and then there was another 2.5 years that Yisrael, not Yehuda, but Yisrael, had a king, namely Ish Boishes, appointed by Avner, and it was only after that 2.5 years elapsed that eventually Dor HaMelech was accepted as Melech over all of Klal Yisrael. So in the final analysis, it turns out that Avner now caused a delay of the Malchus of David by 2.5 years, and for that, he was considered to be punishable by death. Okay, we now move on to a totally different subject. We'll see if we can try and reach the Mishnah. The initial Mishnah told us early on the Yomud that when they have the Sudas Havro'ah, so even though ordinarily the ovel would sit on the floor, or at least on a low chair, but in the case of the king, that's not covered. So to the contrary, everybody else sits on the floor and he sits on what's called a daragesh. Now, daragesh is clearly a rather strange sounding word. It's a strange sounding word, and therefore it needs to be explained. So the Gemara says, my dargish. What is this dargish? What does it mean that the king sits on the dargish? Oma Ula. So Ula says, arsa de gado. What is an arsa de gado? Arsa is clearly a mito, a bed. But what does that mean, arsa de gado? So look at Rashi. Says Rashi, arsa de gado, noyagin hoyu, this is very fascinating. The custom was la'aroich mito v'shulchan bebayis. There was a custom to have a bed and a table in one's home. V'loy hoyu mishtamshim bohen klal, that was never used. So why was it there? Elo lemazel habayis munachas mishum nichosh. It was considered to be a very good simon. For whatever reason, I don't understand these in Yonim, but that was the custom. So there was a bed that used to be featured in everybody's house, but was not used. It was only there for good mazel. There's Rashi, gado and mazel. The word gado means mazel. So therefore, when the Gemara says, arso de gado, it's the bed of luck, the bed of mazel, that's what it is. It's this bed that was never ordinarily used. It just sat there empty. What was its function? To bring mazel toiv to the home. And that, the Gemara is suggesting, is what the king sat on during his Sudas Havro. Now, the Gemara is very upset with this, and there's going to be a whole backwards and forwards. Can this really be? Oh, Malay, back into the Gemara. Oh, Malay, Rabbonon, Lu'ula. So Rabbanan said to Ula, Ula is the one who is suggesting that Dargish is this bed of mazel. So the Rabbanan said to him, I don't understand your position. Mi ikka midi. Can there be something, da'ad ha'idna, until this point, loy oisvina, he never sat on, he never lay on. Vahashtam oisvina lay, and dafka now he's going on this bed? Very, very strange that the king of this Sudas Havro would sit on which bed? Precisely the bed that in other circumstances would never ever use, never used. So why would it be that the bed that's never used, dafka now it should be used? So he answered back and said, one second. Or he didn't answer, but Rava answered. Maskif lo rova. Have a look at Rashi. Excuse me, we missed out a couple of Rashis. Ad hashta lavo isvinui ad heino. Until this point, lo yoshav al oisomito. He never sat on that bed. Shaharei munachas hila noi habayis. Because it was just there, as it were, for decorative purposes. As we said, it was there for good mazel. But it was never there to be used. And now, vahashta de ovel hu. And now that he's an ovel, boyinon lo isveolo. Why should that be? Where are you coming from? Why should he sit on the bed, which is precisely the bed that's never actually normally used? And dafka now he should use it? That was the kasha that the Rabbanon asked Ula. So now, Rava has a counter challenge. Rava has a counter challenge. Maskiv lo Rava, my kusha. Yeah, what's the big difficulty? I don't see anything strange about that. Why? Dilma midi dava achila v'shtiha. It's very similar to his whole eating and drinking. Remember, what is the halacha of a Suvas Havra? Suvas Havra is that he does not eat or drink his own food for reasons that we will not get involved in for the moment. But the Suvas Havra is that other people give him to eat and to drink. That's the whole function of Suvas Havra. Therefore, or says Rava, midi dahava achila b'shtia. It's very similar to his eating and drinking. How so? Da'ado idna, until this point, loy achilne v'loy ashkine. We never gave him to eat. We never gave him to drink. You don't normally give your neighbors food. Everybody provides for themselves. And nonetheless, hashto, now when it comes to the Suda Savro, kom moichlinon lei. We are giving him to eat. The komakshin mashkin on there. We're giving him to drink. So therefore, what's Rava's answer? Rava's saying, I'm sorry, I don't really accept your question. What was your question? Your question was, why would you put him on the bed at this point, the bed that he never actually uses? So Rava says, I don't see what's so strange about that. Just like you're giving him to eat and drink, also in the non-normal fashion, so too, you're going to sit him on the bed in a non-normal fashion. That's precisely the whole point of the Suda Savro. The whole point of the Suda Savro is that things have got to be different. The person is Rachmono Litzlan in Avelos, and he has to be reminded that it's not just life as normal. So normally, a person provides his own food. Now the neighbors are going to knock on his door and provide him with food. So everything is abnormal anyway. So too, the bed that he sits on will also be abnormal. So I don't accept that question. What do you mean to ask? Well, he never normally sits on it, so why does he sit on it now? That's the whole point. The whole point is it's got to be abnormal, as you see when it comes to his eating and drinking. Therefore, so far, says Rava, I don't see any problem with Ulla's suggestion. Ulla's suggestion is that what is this dargesh? It's this bed that's there for mazel. Yep, I accept that. However, I have a different question. Says the Gemara, Elo, I kashya, ho kashya. If you're going to ask a question, this should really be the question that you're asking. What is that? It says in a brisa, Dargesh einoi tzorich lichfoisoi elo zeikfoi. Now, what does this mean? There is a halacha which sounds very strange to us. And the reason why it sounds strange to us is because it's not practiced. It's not our custom. But one of the halachas of Avelos, it's in a Mefurash Gemara, and it's a sif in Shulchan Aruch, is that you have to turn over the beds. It's called Kfiyas Hamito. You literally turn the bed upside down and he's going to be lying on the, as it were, underside of the bed. Clearly it's less comfortable and that's the whole point. Kfiyas Hamitos, we do not do that. Even though we do maintain the halacha that the ovel has to sit on the floor or on a very low stool, doesn't sit on a regular chair, but we do not practice the halacha, again, for reasons beyond the scope of today's shir, we do not practice the halacha of Kfiyas Hamito. But as far as the Gemara is concerned, in the times of the Gemara, this was an absolute chiv to overturn the bed. Now, for some reason, there is a braisa that says that the dargesh was not overturned. Rather, says the Gemara, ala zaykfa, it was there upright. Now, here comes the big question. In the times of the Gemara, where there existed this halacha of kfiyas hamita, which bed do you have to turn over? Do you have to turn over the bed that you're sleeping in, or every bed in the house? And we're going to see in the next line of the Gemara clearly brings a braisa that says that kfiyas hamita means you have to turn over every single bed in the house. So if that's the case, we've hit a big question. If this dargesh, as suggested by Ulla, is the bed that's not normally slept in, now he's going to sit on it for a few moments, but he doesn't normally sleep in it. But why would there be no halacha of kfiyas hamita on that bed? Yes, it's not used, but the braisa says that even a bed that's not used is subject to halacha of kfiyas hamita. So why does the braisa say that this dargesh does not require kfiyas hamita? Have a look at the Gemara. Elo ikashya ho kashya. Rather, if you're going to ask a question, this is the question you need to ask. It says, quote unquote, dargesh einoy tzorich lichvoysoy elo zoykvoy. A dargesh does not need to be overturned. It could be upright. Why? What's going on? V'yisal kedatoch, if you're going to tell me that arsa de gado, if you're going to translate the dargesh as the arsa de gado, meaning this bed, which was there, we said, really for aesthetic reasons or for reasons of mazel, but it wasn't used, amai ein tzorech lichvoysoy. And I don't really understand, why would you not have to do kfiyas hamita? Bahotanya, surely we've learned in a braisa, akoifa es mitosai, when you turn over the bed, loi mitosai bilvad hu koifa. He doesn't just turn over his own bed, meaning the one that he's sleeping in, ela kol mitosai yeshlo betoich beisai hu koifa. You've got to overturn every single bed in the entire house. And if that's the case, it's true that this particular bed is not the bed that he's sleeping in. But however, you have to do kfiyas hamita on every single bed. So if you're going to translate dargesh to mean this bed, then how can we say the sentence that the dargesh doesn't need kfiyas hamita? That's a stira. So for those two sentences are contradictory. How can you say on the one hand that the dargesh is the bed of mazel? And then how can you also say on the same other side of the coin that the dargesh does not require kfiyas hamita? Why not? If dargesh is indeed a mito, then it should jolly well require kfiyas hamita. Says the Gemara, no, we can answer that as well. My kushya, what's the problem? Dilma midi dahava amita miuchedes lekelim. What happens if you have a bed which not only are you not using to sleep in, but it's actually got a totally different usage? It's a mita which is there to put kelim on. It says the ktoni im hoisom miuchedes lekelim ein tzorech lichfoisa. If you have a bed which is meyuchad for kelim, you put your cups there or your plates, then that does not need kfiyas hamita. So what do I see from there? That yes, it's true that you have to do kfiyas hamita not just to the bed that you're lying in, but to all the other beds in the house, but that's only if it's ro'u and it can be used for sleeping. But a bed that has a completely different use, like putting on kelim, does not require kfiyas hamita, and therefore so too this bed. What is the purpose of this bed? This bed is never, ever used for sleeping. It's therefore for good mazel. Therefore, it's not surprising at all. Therefore, it really does not need kfiyas hamita. There's nothing surprising about that at all. So far, we've managed to defend the position of Ulla. Ulla says that this dargesh is a mita, the mita of mazel. So far, the Gemara has absolutely supported that opinion. Why is he sitting on that bed now, even though he normally doesn't? Yes, that's the whole point. It's got to be abnormal. Why do you not have to do kfir samita terraces? Because it's not a bed that's used for sleeping. So everything makes sense. But there's one more kasha. Hello. Ikasha ho kasha. If you're going to ask a question, then this should be it. Because it says, Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, Omer, Reb Shimon ben Gamliel said, Dargesh matir karvitim v'unoifel me'elov. The Dargesh, Reb Shimon ben Gamliel disagrees with the first opinion. The first opinion, as we mentioned before, says that the Dargesh does not need to be collapsed. Doesn't need to be turned over. Reb Shimon Gamliel says it does. But the strange thing is, look how he announces that. He says, do you know how you collapse the bed? By pulling out the karvitim. I think karvitim is translated as the loops. Is that how they translate it in art scroll? The loops?
Bindings.
The bindings. So there's some roping or something, apparently. And that's the way that you would dissemble and collapse this dargish. Now, the problem is, what's going on? If you're going to tell me that the dargish that we're discussing is the bed of mazel, karvitin mi islay, question mark. Are there bindings? I'm sorry. The bed of luck, the bed of mazel, does not have any bindings. So how can Reb Shimon ben Gamliel talk about the dargish in terms of undoing the bindings? But there are no bindings on the bed of mazel. So what does that all show me? That the dargish indeed cannot be this bed of mazel. So what is it then? Hello, Kiyosa Robin. When Robin came, he's translated it differently. Omar, Robin said, Omar Eliyahu Marabonon, the Rabbonon told me, Rav Tachlifa Shmei, his name was Rav Tachlifa, he told me, Dava Shchiach B'Shuka De Gildoi, he was very regularly to be found in the Shuk of Gildoi, V'Omar Le Mai Dargesh, and he said, you know what the Dargesh is? It is something else completely, it's Arsa De Tzalo. How do they translate that? Made out of leather? Is that how they translate it, Rabbi Yisuf?
A bed of leather cot.
Right. That's all they say?
Also de tzalo. It's a bed of leather cot. There's a footnote.
Which does
the horizontal sheet. The horizontal sheet was made of leather. References to a bed that consists of a horizontal sheet of material that was tied with loops to a surrounding wooden frame. When the loops are untied, the sheet falls to the floor.
Right.
And according to this horizontal sheet they're talking about was actually made of leather.
So therefore, now we understand when Reb Shimon Gamliel spoke about untying the tyings, now it does make sense. In the regular bed of mazel, there's no tyings to talk about. But in this particular bed of leather, basically you've got a sheet, but it's not like our bed. Our bed has a mattress upon which you put the sheet. So if you want to take off the sheet, there's nothing to be untied. You just strip the bed. But there they had a frame and the sheet of leather was a bit like, if you can imagine, like a trampoline, right? Imagine a trampoline. You've got like a metal framework and then you've got the middle sheet, which is tied to the edge. So if you untie the edge, obviously it'll just fall through. But mita siruga me al gabo. How do they translate that, Rabbi Yosef? Where the tyings are?
Its weaving goes through it.
As opposed to a regular bed?
I.e. the leather is attached to the frame by loops that are inserted through the sideboards of the frame.
As opposed to a mito?
Yeah, mito sirugo me al gabo. The bed, its weaving is above it. That is, the bed is made of ropes that are wrapped around the sideboards of the frame. A bed is composed of ropes that extend across the length and width of its frame. The ropes are wrapped around the frame and then interwoven, woof and whoop. Yad Rama.
Okay.
Quoting.
So this is going to now present technical problems. Why? Because it says, Meisver, we're going to ask a question now from a Mishnah in Kalim. It says, Kli Eitz, Me'emusai Mekablin Tuma. We know every Kli will only become susceptible to Tuma at the point that it's considered to be completely made. So a Kli Eitz, when is that? Hamita V'ho'arisa. So it talks about a bed or a crib. Misha Yeshufom Ba'or Hadag. When you clean it, you want to make it shiny with the oir, the skin of a fish. That's considered to be, as it were, the last stage of the process. The kli is now complete, and it's now susceptible to tuma. So what's the question? Lomoli vi mita musureges me'al gabo, lomoli shifas oir hadag. If it's a bed which you tie up above, well, why would you need to shine it with Oir Hadag if it's going to be covered anyway? Is that how they translate to Rabbi Yosef? That's how they explain the question? It's going to be covered anyway.
Now, if a bed is woven with ropes that go above the frame, why is rubbing with fish skin required? Since the wooden frame is covered with rope, its appearance is immaterial.
Right. So it must be Elaho Boho Mitaychoi. Really, they're both through the frame, but not above it, and therefore it's not going to be covered, and therefore there is an inyan to shine it. The difference between the different types of bed is mito ayuli va'afuki be'bizyoini and dargesh ayuli va'afuki ba'avakta. The question is just, is it using ropes and holes, or is it loops? Is that how they translate it, Rabbi Yosef?
Yeah, rather... With regard to both this, that is a dargish, and this, Eloho Voho Mitoho, each has ropes that go through the frame, not around it. The difference between them is as follows. Mito, ule vafuke bivisiono. In a bed, the ropes are threaded in and out of slits in the sideboards. While dargesh, ayule vafuke bavikoso, and in the dargesh, the ropes, the bindings, are threaded in and out of loops attached to the sideboards.
Right. Okay, this is all a little bit technical, and that's why I think we should move on. One more line, Omer of Yaakov, Omer of Yeshua, Ben Levi, Halocha, Rav Shimon Ben Gamliel. We had a discussion before. Does the dargesh require kfiyas hamito? The Tanakhama says, no, it does not. Rav Shimon Gamliel says, yes, it does. And we paskenite that. Final line. Omer Rav Yaakov ba'ami mito shenakli teho yoitzin zoikfo v'dayoi. So Rav Yosef, can you fill us in once again on the Metzias over here?
Yeah, Omer Rav Yaakov ba'ami. Mito shenakli teho. Yotzin, with regard to a bed whose vertical poles protrude from the bed itself, that is, they attach to the bed, zukfo bedayo, one may stand it on end, and that is sufficient. We've got two notes here as well. Two vertical poles stood at the middle of each end of the bed. A third pole lay across the tops of these poles, over which a canopy was draped. Since the poles are attached to the frame, it's impossible to turn the bed over. That's a Rashi, apparently. Therefore, it's sufficient to stand the bed on its end.
Okay, sometimes we have a little bit of a technical Gemara. This was definitely one of them. But Mitzvah Hashem, tomorrow we will continue with the Mishnah Be'ez Hashem Yisbarach. Okay, be well all.
Nice, good.